At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a brand new episode of The Wrap right here on the Fight Game Media Network. Happy Tuesday morning to you all as we begin a brand new week. We keep recapping the week so far in WWE. I'm Keela Cash, and by my side, as always, is my co-captain, my right hand, the sometimes advocate for the rapidly improving Ms. Jada Parker from NXT. I bring to you back on The Wrap, as always, the one, the only, Salty Scott Young. Welcome back, Salty.
Thank you for having me, Keela. As always, it's a pleasure to chop it up and talk all things WWE. I'm excited about the conversations we're going to have. And, it's going to be a good show. I'm looking forward to what we have to embark on in this journey.
Yes, yes. A lot to discuss. A lot of things happened on SmackDown and Monday Night Raw. We covered NXT Live last Tuesday, or I should say recorded last Tuesday night. Or was it Thursday? Because times hop around, because I think Rey Mysterio booyahed you last Tuesday. So we recorded Wednesday with Thursday.
Yes.
Got my timeline together.
The storm was rolling. Storm don't stop for nobody.
No, it doesn't. It messes up the entire timeline. So we got it together. So no NXT talk, because that'll happen tomorrow. And we'll talk about some of what happened for next week's show. But, you know, I would be remiss if I don't mention something that I think that we both deserve to talk about for just a little bit. Now, we know that the NBA is not currently in season right now. We'll get to that in October. But I do want to talk about the final game of the Olympics for the men's USA basketball team as they played France in the gold medal game. And I must say, that was one of the most exhilarating basketball games I've ever seen. And probably the last time we will see the big three on this team together winning gold together.
Greatest big three ever assembled. The GOAT. Got himself another MVP. It's just another in the notches, another gold medal. Durant becomes the first person, first basketball player to win four. We got a lot going on, Case can be made. This could be the greatest generation ever, because I can guarantee you the Dream Team ain't never seen a Wimby. Okay? I can promise you that. They ain't never seen an alien like a Wimby. All right, I'm gonna just go. Manute Bol is not Wimby, okay. I'm gonna tell you that. Sean Bradley is not Wimby, okay. Those guys, Rick Smits, 7'4", not Wimby, okay. He's a Rudy, so they've seen a Rudy, but they ain't ever seen a Wimby, all right. But it was great, and Steph Curry sucks, but those shots were absolutely incredible.
I knew. There was no way you're going to slide a compliment towards him without throwing just a little bit of shade in his direction. But the shots were magnificent.
I took my break intentionally at work so I could watch the entire second half in peace. And I saw this man hit the three in a row, and I'm like, yeah, all right, you know, this he gets doubled. And I'm thinking he about to kick it. I see the step back. I see the release. And I said, man, he's about to make that shot. But in the back of my mind, I'm like, I kind of want him to miss. And then they go down and hit a three just because he took that stupid shot in Steph Curry. But he knocked that thing down. And I just couldn't help myself but say, oh, my goodness, you a bad man. He a bad man. He sucks, but he's a bad man.
That is probably the most respect you've ever gave Steph Curry on this show in the 3 years we've nearly worked together. And that is a remarkable stat, to say the least. But I must say that it was beautiful seeing him put an entire country to sleep. That was beautiful. Night, night to the entire city of Paris. But I will say, Wemby, those tears he shed, the villain origin story was born via this game. He is going to come back with a vengeance, not only in the Olympics in 4 years, but in the NBA as well. He is going to be on a mission. He does not like to lose. That man wept. He cried. He felt so awful about letting his country down. He will make America pay for this, and he will make the NBA suffer for years to come via his greatness.
Why is he the villain? What makes him the villain? You had to get a whole bunch of, you had to get a team up to come and beat a kid. Y'all ought to be ashamed of y'all. This man can barely drink. Y'all ought to be ashamed of y'all. So y'all all old men had to team up to bully some kid. Y'all ought to be ashamed of yourselves. And you called in your posse to come in and heckle his friends.
Melo, okay? In the front row, like the blasphemy. Draymond Green
is
brought a ticket. Listen, he has usurped Drew McIntyre, AJ Styles, and CM Punk for the biggest haters of the year. For the fact he flew in for one game to be the biggest hater to Rudy Gobert, to say, I'm going to watch you lose and I'm going to be smiling in your face when it happens. That man is a certified hater on every level.
Yeah, jealousy's a nasty thing. He got four rings, but he ain't got four defensive player of the years, and it really bothers him. it is what it is, but yeah, no, I agree with everything you said. I just don't think Wimby's the villain in this. I don't see how. If anything, if he comes back and wins a gold medal in the next Olympics, he's absolutely the hero in all of this. He instantly becomes the world's hero. If he beats USA, he becomes the world's hero. We are the villains. Let's not get it twisted. We are and will be the villains the way we dominate everybody and everything, just about.
Except 3-on-3 basketball, we haven't quite figured out that. No,
the ladies do their thing. The ladies do their thing.
They did. Now, if Cameron didn't get hurt, we probably would have won gold. But
yeah, the ladies do their thing 3-on-3.
Yeah, the men, we still got a ways to go to figure that out, but
that won't happen again. I guarantee you it would either be a big three team or it will be some NBA players. I guarantee we won't see Jimmer Fredette or the other Barry son.
The other Barry son.
That's who he was.
Yes,
that's
he was. They have to reconfigure the rules, though.
What was his name? What Barry? Listen,
Barry Sanders.
First of all, he was Rick Barry or John Barry's son. So his last name is Barry. Okay. That is, secondly, Barry Sanders, though.
Listen, you asked me which Barry, and I gave you an answer to not know which one I was going to throw at you. So I just threw a Barry that I knew. I could have said Barry White. I could have said Barry Berries or Bears. I could have said any Barry.
You were going to make Barry the last name, huh?
Absolutely not. No, but they legit have to reconfigure the rules, though, to get the pros in the 3-on-3 game for the guys. So we'll see what they can do. But yeah,
you got to get the big three people in there.
Yeah, you really do. You really got to get big three in there to really compete, to legitimize that side for the guys. The girls are going to be great. They're going to handle business, no doubt about it. But yes, I greatly enjoy the gold medal match. Congrats to the ladies as well. France, the ladies said, we're going to avenge our guys. They almost did. If homegirl just stepped behind the line and hit the three, that would have been a dagger. And it would have been like, oh my God, the streak is over. That streak will fall one day because the world is getting better. I don't doubt that for a second. But the next crew in 2028, we got Paige, we got Caitlin, we got Angel. Whew.
Juju will be there by 2028.
Yeah, Juju. Yeah, for sure. By so it's going to be there. Camera's going to be there. It's going to be stacked, no doubt.
Cameron will be anchoring. Cameron and Angel will be anchoring that defense back there, snacking everything on rebounds. Cameron's blocking shots. Caitlin will be running. That's going to be a nasty crew walking down the street.
Mm-hmm. Nasty in LA. And
not to mention the vets they still going to have.
Exactly. They're still going to have the vets coming out there as well. Age is going to be still there. That's going to be a stacked, like the greatest, the GOAT. Already and still playing in a prime. So they're going to be a nasty team in 2028 in LA. And the bonus is because of the time zone, a lot of this stuff is going to be live in prime time. So y'all talking about we need markability for the Olympics. Well, guess what?
They about to get it.
They're going to get it in 2028 because those games are going to be live most likely in prime time.
Caitlin and Angel Reese going to draw in 10 million viewers.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be ridiculous. So we got that to look forward to. So that was fun. Sidebar basketball talk as we lay it down for a while. And we'll come back in October as we kick off the season. But shout out to Tyrese Halliburton. Best tweet of saying when you didn't do anything, but you still got an A on the final and on the group project. I appreciate that. Know your role for the future.
Yeah, shout out to Derek White, who's going to go back and have a gold medal while Jaylen Brown just sits there with his finals MVP. So,
and Jason Tatum crying about like, why they didn't play me long enough. Like, dude, you're going to be anchoring the team in 4 years. It was job shadowing.
No, it's not. They going to be playing. Both of them going to Canada.
Wow.
They going to go play with France.
Wow. They're going to defect from the union and join the French.
Let me tell you something. You put Tatum and Jaylen Brown over there with Wimby, we got ourselves a problem.
Yes, we do. Now,
okay, we got ourselves a problem.
Them magically claiming French allegiance would be something to see.
I would love to see it.
They'll be most likely Team Canada, though, if they were going to really do something outrageous.
That's a problem, too. Dylan Brooks up out of there.
No doubt about it. So, yes. Fun NBA talk, fun world talk about b-ball. As we make that segue to WWE, let's talk about some Friday Night SmackDown going down live in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I didn't see this show until midnight because I watched the Atlanta Falcons lose their first preseason game to the Miami Dolphins. Joy.
I don't know why you did that. I don't even know any fans who watched the game, so I don't know why you watched that. I don't know why you did that.
I had nothing else to watch until like SmackDown came on.
Anything?
Nothing. I already watched the Olympics in the daytime.
No, I mean, like, anything you would have put on the TV would have been better than the Falcons. You can't even name me three people on the Falcons team right now as a fan.
Grady Jackson, one.
Okay.
Two. Kirk Cousins, who sucks, who got overpaid.
Come on.
And whoever else is playing on the team, I don't know. Koo, the kicker. I know three people.
Hey, shout out to him. Shout out to Kirk. Shout out to Kirk. I like Kirk Cousins.
Yeah.
Shout out to him.
Yeah. Too bad he's not going to last the entire season because they're going to bench him. But I digress. Just a bold prediction. You don't draft a quarterback eighth in the draft and expect to start the entire season.
Maybe. We'll see what happens.
$180 million wasted. Shameful. Shame on you. All right. Let's get to SmackDown. Let's talk about a very polarizing segment that kicked off the show. So Cody Rhodes comes out. He's done with Bloodline business for right now. Solo says, no, we're not. He comes out there with Tama Tonga and Tongaloa. And we quickly have Kevin Owens come out there to clean house on behalf of Cody Rhodes. And because of this act of bravery and Owens always being there for Cody, Cody said to KO, hey, guy. Listen, I appreciate you. You're a friend of mine. I thank you for always having my back. And I am ready to announce my next challenger for this undisputed WWE Championship. I want to give you this opportunity to be next in line at Bash in Berlin. And Kevin Owens is taken aback by this generosity from Cody. And he says, no, I don't deserve this. I haven't done anything to earn it. I have a win-loss record that's not so stellar in the last year or so. And I think that you can find someone much more worthy than me to challenge you for that championship at Bash in Berlin. thanks, but no thanks. And Cody says, no one deserves this more than you. You fought side by side with me, and I think that you are very worthy and capable of being my challenger for this title at Bash in Berlin. I'm going to go backstage, talk to Nick Aldis about it, and I'm going to make sure this match is official at the PLE. So Cody goes to leave, and KO is still mulling the offer over, ready to decline it. We head backstage, and Nick Aldis basically plays reverse psychology, saying, well, if you don't want this title shot, technically speaking, the next guy in line is the person that last lost his championship to Cody Rhodes at WrestleMania 40, the OTC, Roman Reigns. And Kevin immediately said, what? When was the last time a rematch clause was activated like that? Like, whoa. But he says, well, since you don't want this opportunity, technically speaking, Roman is next in line. So KO is like, no, anybody but Roman, anybody cuts the line but him. So you know what? Fine. I'll take the championship match. Thank you. Goodbye. And it's official. It will be Cody Rhodes versus Kevin Owens for the undisputed WWE Championship at Bash in Berlin in late August. And I know that people thought this was a dumb angle, but I will respectfully disagree, because Kevin Owens is a humble man. He's an honest man. He said, my win-loss record is not great. I don't think I deserve this shot. He wants to earn his opportunities, and I can respect that. And he had valid reasons. If you look at what happened to him the last year or so, his singles record is not stellar. So Cody was trying to give him a little, here. Here's a little gimme. Here's a little cookie. Are you happy? We're going to tear the house down. Does Cody have confidence he's going to win? Obviously. Does he think that Kevin's going to beat him? No, not really. But it really comes down to what Kevin Owens thinks, because if he doesn't view himself as a charity case and sees himself as a prize fighter, then he obviously is going to step up and take on Cody head on and say, I have what it takes to beat you for that championship. I don't have to be given anything. It'll be earned when it's all said and done. But I had no problem with this. Kevin had logic and sound reason as to why he wanted to decline the offer. So I'm cool with it. The match will be great in Berlin, and I expect no title change.
Yeah, it's classic heel work by Cody Rhodes. You know, you pick somebody who's on a losing streak and you offer them a title shot. Smart. You know they were not going to win, but you come off as the good guy. Very, very politician. Very much a politician is Cody Rhodes. I agree with you. I think the logic was there. It's laid out in front of you. You laid it out right there perfectly. But as far as it always seems like the in-ring quality, the higher in-ring quality matches, they seem to be in the non-American PLEs. They seem to get a lot of the work rate matches, especially when it comes to Cody Rhodes. I do find it interesting that he's the one who got the title shot. I know Randy had a world title shot, but Cody could have offered him a title shot before. So I wonder if that could be a catalyst for Randy turning down the road. But this was a fine set. I thought the segment was fine. It did what it needed to do. It got Kevin Owens the title shot.
Agreed. And you noted out a very interesting trend alert, that the international PLEs that we have to wake up early in the morning for if you're on the West Coast, or set aside some of your Saturday to watch a show live, the wrestling quality is better on those shows. And you have to really kind of spot the WrestleManias of it all, and maybe the Survivor Series going down in Vancouver, to say those are the shows that you would get the best quality matches, not so much a SummerSlam in terms of we're going to give you storyline satisfaction, not so much in-ring wrestling satisfaction. And you might get something at Bad Blood that they're hyping pretty big in Atlanta. I noticed that on Monday Night Raw, they're doing priority pass tickets, front row accommodations. They're trying to make that a go-to destination show. Tickets are hot for here. So I agree with you. I just want them to emphasize your big five in this country. I know Money in the Bank does travel internationally too, but I do want them outside of WrestleMania, obviously, make those big four in ring mean something too, because the PLEs overseas, the crowds are hot for it, the matches are pretty good, but show stateside some love too. Like, it doesn't have to be angle heavy all the time. Let that in-ring quality bleed over during the year over here as well.
If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy. Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to BadlandsRanch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to BadlandsRanch.com/save50 today.
Bernie Marino is looking out for himself, not us. Marino is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Marino has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
That being said, the match will be really good. Gunther Orton is going to be really good. So I think Bash could shape up, at least on paper, to be one of the better shows of the year.
Most definitely, for sure. 3 matches on tap. We'll get to it later, but I like how it's looking so far as we get to a couple of tag team matches to determine the next challengers for the Bloodline. Unfortunately, Jacob Fatu is legit injured for now. He's out, and we have Tongaloa, God bless him, as the representative for the Bloodline alongside Tama Tonga. We're going to pray for those tag team matches because they're going to be something for sure. So we had the Street Profits versus A-Town Down Unders, Austin Theory and Grayson Waller. The Profits won. Very fun matchup. Can we just get our guys over consistently? That's all that I ask. And get Montez Ford over as a babyface and a single star, hopefully in time. And our other match is DIY versus Pretty Deadly, and Pretty Deadly lost. But I do sense they're going to get over with this Pretty Deadly, the musical angle they're doing behind the scenes on SmackDown as of late. They have a lot of personality and charisma, good in the ring as well. I think they're going to get over on their personality very soon, because I hear the pops backstage for them as a shield, this musical that will see the light of day eventually. I do believe that, and it's going to be something to behold. But overall, we will see it. We will see DIY and the Street Profits this Friday on Fox. Winner will take on the Bloodline for the WWE Tag Team titles at a date to be determined, most likely Bash in Berlin.
I kind of want DIY to win, just because I don't want the Street Profits to have to lose to Tongaloa. I would take this opportunity. They're not going to, but I would take this opportunity to flip everything while you have it. I would have Solo and Tama, let them form a little bit of a tag team. And when Jacob comes back, he comes back and he's like, listen, Solo, you had your chance. It obviously didn't work. I'm running things now. And I would have him flip the script and have Jacob come back as a solo and have Solo come back as a tag team with Tama. But they're not going to do that. So I don't want Tongaloa beating anybody. So I'm going to say the Street Profits win, then they beat them for the tag titles.
I can see that. I don't want to see the Street Profits lose to Tongaloa either. So I need Solo to step up. You're the tribal chief, right? So you have to make those executive decisions to step in for your family, to do what's necessary to not embarrass yourself. So what you need to do is say, hey, Tonga, I got this. Sit aside with your one eye. I got this. I got this on lockdown. Because we are already down a guy with a bad foot and you got a bad eye. So step aside and I will handle business for the family. I will hold the tag team titles on lockdown. When Jacob comes back, he'll tell Solo, now you step aside. I'm back now. I got this. You slide on over here being a cheap ass imitation of the tribal chief and a wannabe Al Pacino. I got this here as the Samoan werewolf. Slide over there.
Yeah, Tongaloa looking like a Timu Kano. everything is... I think the Street Profits and the DIY, that will be a good match next week.
I agree. And give them 20 minutes, hopefully mostly uninterrupted. And they're going to throw a couple of commercials in there. Give me at least 15 minutes of in-ring time with these two teams. Give me NXT flashbacks. Why not? During the peak black and gold era of that brand many moons ago. As we get to Andrade versus Santos Escobar in a number one contenders match for LA Knight's United States Championship. I thought this match was really good. Great chemistry between Andrade and Santos. Andrade's work rate is getting over, as I predicted. He needed that Money in the Bank performance in those matches against Carmelo to really establish himself as a viable babyface on this show that can be a player in the mid-card scene vying for, as we said, the United States Championship. And we had interference from Legado and ultimately Carmelo Hayes, who distracted Andrade long enough, pulled Santos out of the way, and that allowed Santos to hit the Phantom Driver to pick up the 1-2-3 on Andrade, and he is now in the driver's seat as the number one contender for the United States Championship, as we kind of saw coming a couple of weeks ago via LA Knight and Santos interactions on SmackDown.
Yeah, match was solid. Nice little undercard storyline going on. Interjecting with the United States title. So I like all that that's going on. I'm not sure exactly what match Carmelo and Andrade are on in their personal mini best of seven series they got going on. But I think that'll be another really good match you could add. And Santos versus LA Knight. I don't know. Is that supposed to happen on SmackDown, did they say, or is that going to happen at Bash?
They have not said where it's going to happen yet.
Okay. That would be a nice Bash match, but I wouldn't mind a four-way at Bash. I'm not a big fan of multi-man matches, but I think those four, that's something different. You know, it's not like we see a lot of them, for the title at least, I don't remember the last United States one off the top of my head. So I wouldn't mind seeing the four of them in a four-way at the Bash, just to see something a little bit different.
Yeah, gives you variety, and all four guys have different styles they bring to the table, which would be entertaining. And to keep track of the score in this de facto best of seven series, which I think they're going to do. There's no point of teasing it if you're not going to go through with it. The rumblings, that's what the people want. They want a best seven series, and I think they'll go there. And the score so far is 2-0 Andrade, so Melo needs one to get back in the game. So they'll probably do another match on SmackDown real soon, and they can run it up leading to the transition from Fox to USA and keep it going from there. Now, question, Scott, when this is all over, will it be what we got with Cesaro and Sheamus, and they become tag team partners? Because that happened 8 years ago.
Man, Melo and Andrade, that's almost as odd as Apollo and Baron Corbin. Like,
but it works.
It does. They do have something. It's Corbin. It's Corbin, man. Like, Corbin is slowly becoming a tag team specialist. People are not going to want to acknowledge that because it's Baron Corbin, but that dude is gelling, can gel with anybody. And yeah, maybe. And honestly, it would be something different. I don't know how you would do that. You know, I know people were going to complain and say, oh, look at that. I've said on this show before, if two singles guys don't have anything to do and you just got them sitting in the back, why not put them together and form a tag team and add something to the tag division? So maybe you are onto something.
That's the only way I can conceivably see this end, because that's exactly what Mick Foley did. He said, well, look at you guys, had a great best seven series. Why don't you be tag team partners when it's all said and done? And the Bar delivered bars for a few years together as a team. So why not go there? And Baron Corbin is a really good tag team wrestler. He brings something out of his partner. And Apollo Crews is getting TV time. He's working. And they're beating up Legato for a change on Friday, which I appreciated. And I already gave the man Cheddar Biscuits. So you know that I agree with you when I say that Baron Corbin is a great tag team specialist. He's growing into someone that is going to be reliable when you need something to get over in terms of tag team wrestling. Look at Bron Breakker and how he's soaring on Monday Night Raw by working with Baron Corbin during his last year on NXT. And you kind of see Apollo feeding off of that, because Corbin does have personality, and it's good to see that on the main roster after all of these years. So if Melo and Andrade can bring that out of each other as well, they do have swag, they have talent, and if you bring that together, they could be a very unique tag team, especially if you bring in a certain tag team in WWE real soon to bolster this division even more potentially.
Melo would kind of solve the Andrade mouthpiece ordeal. Also, on the Corbin, you giving him cheddar biscuits, he doesn't need you to give him anything. We both know Corbin can do his thing in that kitchen. He'll just make his own. So we just going to his house from now on. We don't even need Red Lobster. we don't even need the lobster no more. We just call Baron. We like, yo, we need a batch. But nah, the more I think about it, the more, because they do have a little bit of a similar swag as far as they both think they're the best. That could play off of each other. They both have that little arrogant swag to them. That could work. And Melo absolutely solves that mouthpiece problem. So, I don't mind that idea now that you've brought it to me.
All right. And we're definitely going over to Baron Corbin's house. The man can cook some great Wagyu beef. Homemade cheddar biscuits. That sounds great to me. Yeah, so let's book it over to Corbin's house. Leave room for us and plates and wine. We're good. So thank you very much for that suggestion. But we still got the lobster on lockdown, okay? We got to serve people. And I got cheddar biscuits to deliver to someone else later on in this show. And I will tell you who, but I'll save it for Monday Night Raw. That is a clue.
Okay.
You'll be surprised who will get cheddar biscuits.
Yeah, I don't think I'll be surprised, but I can't wait to hear who it is.
Okay. And now let's get to the main event angle of Monday Night Raw, the reason people tuned in on Fox to see the OTC, not the original Trout crew. Okay. Not that person, not the Trout, but the original tribal chief. And Solo comes out with his crew and he's already pissed off. He wants to know where Roman is. He wants to say, I am the tribal chief. I am him. Come at me, son. And so Roman comes out. And as I said last week on this show, I wanted to be a fair person. I wanted to let the theme music wash over me. And the intro is great. It's from WrestleMania 40. I'm here for that. The actual mix when it plays, I don't love it. The beat's downplayed for me. It's a little watered down. And I have heard and read rumors they are working on new theme music that will be Roman Reigns approved. As long as Roman likes it and it gets clearance and Def Rebel doesn't F it up, let's move. But this stand-in music is all right, but I love the OG theme. So that is my judgment for right now. Scott, your second listen. Does it work for you, or you want the old theme back, or do you want to hear something new from Roman Reigns?
I'm okay with them doing something new, like when guys turn babyface and heel, you giving them different music. So then when they do go back to babyface, I'm hoping the idea is they go back to the music they had, because I think I'm okay with that. That kind of gives it a different feel and makes them feel different. That being said, we definitely got Def Rebel. It happened again.
Yeah.
But it's not the worst. You know, it's not the worst thing, you know, he's put out there. We've definitely heard worse. And but I hope that the rumors are true. And if they're not, just go back to the original. Roman is somebody who is above all that. So he can just have his – he's somebody who should just have his music. His music shouldn't be changing. He's above all that. Cody is above all that. Shouldn't be changing. Like, even with the women, like, I wouldn't, Bianca is somebody I would probably never change her music. Unless no. She, you know, like, that, everything about her music is iconic and is her. The hair whip, like, it's all her. The lips, like, everything about it is all her. Same thing with Cody. Like, you should never change his music at this point. And I think Roman should have been the same way.
Agreed. Unless Jim Johnston is coming back out of retirement to remix a song, you don't touch it. Like the Rock's theme song, Jim Johnston produced that 20 years ago. So that's why Rock said, let's pull that out. We can pay Jim some coin. Okay, cool. But with Roman, you already have iconic theme music that people go off for. And they're going to stand up and throw their ones up. You ain't got to change the formula. Stick with what we know. Give him back his OG music. If there's something new out there that's extraordinary, cool. Let's run with it. But don't fix what isn't broken. The music wasn't broken. Thankfully, when it came out in Cleveland, the fans loved him so much, they overwhelmed the music. I heard it on Friday. The mix, intro, great. Overall song, meh. So Roman comes out to a great reception. And what I love about this so far is that Roman's not giving the people everything they want. He's all about violence. He murks his cousins. Bye-bye, Tongaloa. Bye-bye, Tama Tonga. Just squashes them with steel steps and whatnot and waffles them. We have Solo running away, scared, drops his lei, and Roman grabs the lei because that is symbolism of who is truly the tribal chief. The fam steps in again. Roman spears fam, and Solo scurries away like a coward saying, I'm the chief. I'm the tribal chief. No, you ain't shit, Solo. You ain't nothing. And Roman stands tall. The fans go crazy. He does not say a word. He does not cut a promo yet. I think that happens this Friday on Fox, and he will get the biggest acknowledge me pop he will ever get to date. That promo is going to be everything, and that will be the true test for Solo. Are you willing to step up word for word, bar for bar with Roman? You are doing a lot of barking right now, but when it's time to put up or shut up, here's your chance to prove me wrong, to say that you're not dollar store Roman Reigns.
This was a good segment. Roman did a real good job just conveying the emotion of what he needed to. A lot of energy. Crowd was ballistic for it. This is exactly the energy you want out of your top babyface in your company going right now, because that's what Roman is. And Cody, CM Punk, all of them, everybody's fighting for number two going forward. So he is the biggest thing going forward. Solo will be elevated. I'm not one that's ready to give up on him yet. I think him and Roman will, I think whenever they do get it in and get into it, it's going to be good. I think Rome is going to elevate Solo. I think Solo is going to hold his own, but this was good for what it was.
This time around, 4 years ago, we saw the ascension of Jey Uso. And for a long time, we thought that Jimmy had the sauce as a brother that had more charisma and personality, and Jey stepped up big. This is Solo's test now to see if you can step up big in the position as the bootleg tribal chief. And Roman giving you some rub to say, can you handle that pressure? Because we're feuding now. We're going head to head. Like, you are in a bigger position than Jey and Jimmy 4 years ago. You are legit going head to head with the made man that is now beloved by the people. That is going to be the test. And we'll see if Solo clears it in due time. As we now get to Monday Night Raw, going down live from Austin, Texas, at the University of Texas, Hook'em Horns, as we kick things off with Rhea Ripley. And she talks about what happened at SummerSlam a couple of weeks ago with Dirty Dom and Liv, and Dirty Dom leaving her and hurting her feelings, breaking her heart. And she was embarrassed. She was mad. She was sad. But now she's pissed off and she wants her pound of flesh. She wants Dom and she wants Liv. And she says that Dom stabbed her in the back. But since he's familiar with certain things, he didn't go deep enough. And when she said that, the fans was like, Amara, wait a minute. And then second of all, TMI, that is too much information. I did not need to know that Dirty Dom has a mediocre stroke game. Oh. I did not need to know that. She told me that man didn't go deep enough. And that is just too much of a picture in my head to fully digest.
Mommy says she got a buddy that go, never mind. Listen, listen. Yeah, wild segment. Wild segment. And This is on USA. Just imagine what's going to happen when they get to Netflix. Definitely caught me off guard, I can tell you that.
I was not ready for that. I was unprepared. Like, I did not need to know that man's stroke number. I did not need to know that.
She didn't give his stroke number.
Close enough.
She did.
Close enough.
Hey, a stroke number is a crazy thing.
It's close enough. It's like a sleep number, bed number. Like, how high or low did it go?
That is hilarious. I've never heard somebody say that. I think that is fantastic.
Oh my gosh, it shows off the rails. But hey, our moniker for a long time was After Dark. So we have approached that at the 40-minute mark.
And it's on Monday Night Raw. No, this is not Raw Underground.
No, it's not. So after that revelation that no one was ready for, Liv and Dom appear in the crowd, and Liv is all over Dom, like all over him, like ridiculously to the levels of over this man. Like, she's like wearing him, like all over him, and he's loving it. And this fool got on the microphone and explained why Dom turned on Rhea.
Yep.
And we talked about this on this show, and Dom laid the case out. He says, I'm a man now. I'm daddy. I'm a grown ass man calling you mommy. I'm a daddy. Now I'm Daddy Dom. Liv respects me, treats me like a man. And you know what else she does for me, Rhea? She gives me tendies. I said, no, he didn't. Shout out the chinka tendies. Yes, he did.
No, you don't shout out anything, any tendies. Nobody's shouting out. No, we're not.
Yes.
No, we are not shouting out chicken tendies.
In honor of you, he says, I am shouting out Chick-fil-A chicken tendies without sauce, without barbecue sauce, without honey mustard, without ranch.
That's nasty work.
He's like, chicken tendies to PS5. Like, she gave me everything I ever wanted. And most importantly, she helped me beat my deadbeat dad, something you could never do, Rhea. So what about it? And Rhea says, well, you know what, Tom? I'm proud of you. You really grew up before my eyes in the last couple of years. You became the man I thought you could always be. But I at least thought you could beat your daddy on your own. Like, you needed help to do that. So are you really a man after all? And besides, you can have my sloppy seconds, Liv. You can have that. And then Liv says, they're great sloppy seconds. They're amazing, actually. They're the best. Liv is chaotic. Let me tell you. And then she's like, I took your man. I took your championship. I took your family. I took everything from you. You have nothing. And then I love their back and forth because Rhea did not back down. She says, listen, you took my weak links. You can have that. Like, they didn't make me who I am. So you can have the weak links. You can have Dom, the chicken tendies, the PS5, but you can't have my championship forever. So come a time when I'm going to come to collect. And because y'all talking so much, somebody can hear y'all. And so, in a great shot, Damian Priest appears like The Undertaker did to AJ Styles during that graveyard match at WrestleMania during the pandemic. He grabs Dom, they brawl backstage, and then Liv is going to be running from Rhea Ripley, which is a lot of fun too. And we have another Judgment Day beatdown attempt to Rhea, and Damian Priest does not work as poor JD McDonagh goes flying up in the air one more time for a gnarly South of Heaven by Priest. And the numbers game is not affecting the Terra Twins right now. Rhea and Damian are standing tall. And as we said last week, I think it might be time to get that Raquel Rodriguez factor in the mix, the mommy, the new mommy we've been talking about. And I've been seeing that on the timeline too. That's the next angle if she's healthy. And then we need Rhea and Damian to get help too, to even the odds. And for the love of God, I heard the rumors too. Y'all better not change the name of the Judgment Day. They are the new Judgment Day. Marketing purposes, don't screw that up. Please and thank you.
The NJD, the New Jerusalem decision.
Oh my goodness. That is so random.
That's what you said, that the new Judgment Day, the NJD. Listen, we'll in the name, like the trashmen or something.
Street trash
sounds like a old cartoon that came on after the after Street Sharks and SWAT cats. Listen,
SWAT cats.
I mean, that's what it reminds me of. Street trash. See you at 9 o'clock next week. I think that is WWE weeding out whoever's feeding information. Like, oh, so it's that guy.
Yes.
We told that guy street trash.
And so y'all didn't read anything about a trademark about us trademarking street trash.
100%. So they're like, word. So we know that guy is an op. He's an op. Okay. We know that off top. But yeah. I think I even saw one that said like Liv's darlings or Liv's warriors or Liv's tulips or something like that.
Not Liv's tulips. That sounds like a legitimate flower shop somewhere in New Jersey that Liv opened up and she's selling tulips, a dozen for $24.99.
A dirty dozen. How old is Dominic Mysterio? How old is he?
I think he's 26 or 27.
It would be $26.99.
There we go.
$26.99. Nah, it's cool. I think everything they've done is really good. And I think they've done, if the plan is to bring in Raquel, they've done a good job of establishing mommy as a force. We already know that Rhea Ripley was taking out men left and right as it was. And nobody could really stand up to her one-on-one, except maybe your Nia Jax. Becky Lynch is the man, so she's essentially John Cena of the women's division, but nobody else is really stepping up to her. So this makes sense. You establish that dominance. So then when you do bring in the heavy and Raquel is holding her own and she's the one who's taking her out by herself, it's like, oh, wow. Okay, we on to something.
Definitely. And I love that idea that you talked about last week. And I hope it happens. I truly do. I want Raquel healthy and able to go. Her and Rhea, their past work has been good on NXT. As I said last week, not so much in the main roster, but they can fix that with more work together and work out the kinks and knock off the ring rust. And I think they'll be good to go. And that would be a lovely surprise at Bash in Berlin. When you think that Dom and Liv are down and out and Damian and Rhea are on top, here comes new mommy Raquel to save the day in the clutch. Brand new Judgment Day elevated. And here comes the help for Damian and Rhea. And there's a reason why we have not seen Rhea on TV lately. I'm just saying.
Yeah, maybe. What have they done to earn that help, though? I guess would be my question.
They have to make amends. They have to make amends.
They would need to save Rhea.
Yeah.
They would need to save Rhea before Rhea is going to make a big return. I mean, I think they would need to, or they would need to save some, like, they would need to go and save a Dragon Lee from a beatdown, and Rey Mysterio see that and be like, yo, that's, I saw what y'all did for Dragon Lee. Y'all were looking out for him while I was gone. And so that's why I decided to come back and help you. Even, you know, something like it, you got to give me something like that. So I think Dragon Lee now you can bring Dragon Lee into the mix. Now he can start, maybe him and JD can have some matches on TV that will absolutely get the crowd into it. Now you're bringing him back into it. Now he's not just sitting around doing nothing, trying to figure out if he's going to be the next person to follow Ricochet's footsteps on speed. So it's just,
saying. That is a sad fate resign. You don't want to be on speed, but hey, a check is a check and work is work for check. 3 minutes or less every Wednesday at noon on X.
That's what Rhea said.
And she did. She basically said that Dirty Dom was a 3 minute man. And apparently Liv is happy with that. So if he got, I'm not going to go there because that would go too far on this show. But if he can give you 3 minutes of quality time to do what he needs to do, good for you. Sometimes all you need is 3 minutes.
If you have any questions, check out Missy Elliott.
Now you're giving Missy 2 extra minutes when she says 1 minute man.
Well, you know, I figured she was just being she was just over exaggerating a little bit. Like, he gives a little more respect.
I love my new nickname. I love my new nickname for Dom. 3 minute Dom.
The 3D?
3D?
The 3D? Oh my God.
3MD. 3MD? Oh my God. It works. 3MD. 3MD. 3 minute Dom. Yes. Look at us here working on the rap. Trademark it, pay us. We appreciate it. So Damian Priest made quick work of Carlito. See you bye. That was fun. As we talked about earlier, Judgment Day got whooped by 2 people. That must change heading into Bash in Berlin. Then we get to our next match. And I have to shout out the thespian work of one Xavier Woods. He is the very definition of a man that says, I ain't feeling this shit. But I'm on fake clap. I'm on fake smile. I'm on fake being happy. He hates Odyssey Jones with every fiber of his soul. And Kofi Kingston, who I love. I have loved this man for decades now in WWE. I want to say this loud and clear. I will cry when Xavier Woods kills this man imminently. This would be akin to when Seth hit Dean Ambrose with the chair or Roman with the chair. I take that back. Yes, it will, because Xavier Woods is so great at being completely pissed and being downplaying it. So Odyssey Jones beat this fella, this independent worker, in quick fashion. Then the final testament comes out and Karrion Kross, little shit stirrer, says, hey, Kofi's trying to replace Big E with this guy, Odyssey Jones. So you the new day, right? And Kofi's like, no. And then Xavier is increasingly getting irritated. And so Xavier Woods trying to keep things going. So let's do a tag team match. You two versus Kofi and I. And Kofi's like, no, wait a minute. Wait. Because we know we're going to have interference. Let's have a 6-man tag team match. The final testament versus myself and Xavier Woods, the New Day, and Odyssey Jones. And Xavier Woods, again, is the most low-key pissed off man in the world. He's like fake smiling and clapping. He's so aggrieved. And Kofi was so annoying, being so proud to cap for Odyssey Jones. So I'm going to pray for Kofi because unholy hell is about to rain on him. Xavier Woods is going to deliver one of the best beatdowns you will ever see. And even though I'm going to feel bad about what's going to happen, what Kofi did tonight is deserved. You were too much over the top and you overstepped, and Xavier is going to make him pay for it. I am so sorry. He was so great being the most low-key, angriest man in that ring at what he was seeing before him. He was low-key hater of the year, already topping other haters in WWE. That's how deep that hate ran.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Make the right call for the right Medicare Advantage benefits. Go to MedMutual.com/review to schedule your free Medicare plan review with Medical Mutual, Ohio's hometown Medicare insurer.
Yeah, I don't know, because if he does turn on Kofi, what's he going to do when Odyssey Jones comes after him? Because he's not going to beat up Odyssey Jones. I think he's going to do, we've talked about it, I think he'll do good as a heel. We'll see how the turn goes. Don't know if I can quite compare this to Dean and Roman, or I'm sorry, Seth and Dean and Roman and all them. That felt different because they had just, when that happened, they had just beaten Evolution the second time in a row, clean swept them in an elimination match. I think it was at Extreme Rules, I want to say. They had just clean swept them. Batista, Randy Orton, and Triple H. And this is on Batista's comeback and stuff. Like, that was at the peak of them, like, as far as them as a baby face. They had just, you know, they were established as a baby face, and they were just getting these incredible reactions. So that hit a little bit. This is going to come when the New Day are, you know, they're the new Day. They're the NND. You know, it's like, you know, so I get what you're saying. Like, the history is there, and you know, we love these wrestlers so much that it's gonna hit differently. And for the culture, it's gonna hurt. Like, they've been a staple for the culture. That's something that now the Street Profits really got to carry. But it is gonna hit. But I definitely can't compare it to the Shield. That was when they did that, man. I was like, I can't believe y'all not even gonna let me have this.
And it built up the next 10 years of WWE storylines, because sure, that was the moment that scarred Roman. Like, the tribal chief was bubbling ever since then, and he talks about it all the time when he's confronting Seth, like, you did this, you created this monster, you made me who I am because of what you did to us in the Shield. When you hit me in the back with that chair, and it shook him all the way to WrestleMania this year. But as you said, Scott, for the culture, because the New Day have been together for 10 years this year. And not only that, a vow they made, they would never break up. They went their separate ways on different shows when Big E was champion, but collectively as a unit, they kind of stuck together. But you can see what they're doing here. And why it's going to hurt so much is because of the longevity of the vow of what they vowed never to do. And they're going to do it. And eventually Big E will be on the scene to be that guy that will be that bridge one day to fix this. But it has to be shattered and broken because Kofi is so oblivious and taking things way too far in terms of overstepping. And Xavier is clearly feeling that. And he is acting his ass off as a guy that's not doing too much, being subtle, but you can feel every bit of that anger, frustration, and jealousy via the claps, the distance he had after Odyssey won. Like, he wasn't with Kofi and Odyssey when they were celebrating. He was in the corner doing the fake clap, the smile, getting visibly more angry, and then Karrion Kross just push it over the top, and Kofi made it worse. So I love that, the subtlety of that performance. You can just tell how angry he is without being too overt with it.
Yeah, Kofi better be careful. They don't call him Consequences Creed for nothing.
Okay. And Michael Cole was very, very clever because he picked up on the shoot name for Austin. And he said, Pastor, he's talking about the city, isn't he? Like, no. Shoot name. Shoot name.
Oh, Pat.
Pat didn't pick up the hint, but Michael did, my man. Appreciate that. As we get to our next segment, which is a tornado tag team match involving American Maid, Julius, and Brutus Creed versus Akira Tozawa and Otis with Maxxine Dupri at ringside. And this match was a lot of fun. Akira Tozawa reminded people how great he is, almost died on the toupee, like, dude, woo. Julius tried. He tried to save it, but he was all right. Crazy Tower of Doom spot. A lot of big men up there doing crazy stuff at the top. Set on by Akira too. Everybody was popping for this match. Otis was incredible as always. But then we get what I knew we was going to get. I called it months ago. Ivy Nile finally flipped on Maxxine Dupri. She choked her out with a dragon sleeper. And that allowed Brutus and Julius to get the win by rolling up Akira Tozawa for the 1-2-3. So American Maid get their first big victory on Monday Night Raw. Good for them. Ivy Nile is a heel. That's where she needs to be right now, as American Maid stands tall, and they will continue their rivalry with the White Six as Chad Gable declares war on Uncle Howdy.
Yeah, American Maid, that's the real OTC. The original Trump campaign. The match was real good, and I think if they choose to do it, Otis and Tozawa could be a nice underneath tag team. If they could sneak a tag title win here and there for a week and then lose it the next week. I think they're a good tag team. The Creed brothers think they're 2K for real. They think every match is a 2K match, and they can do some creative finisher type move. You just need to get yourself six or seven sweet moves, and you pull out a banger on a PLE. You ain't got to do this crazy stuff every time out here, especially you, Brutus. Hey, Brutus, let me tell you something. Brutus has come a long way from when he first started. Like, he got swag now. He's swagged out. You know, Julius always been him, but Brutus, he the one now. Like, I fully believe he could be a top singles guy the way he carries himself now. So I like what they're bringing to the table. I think them being with Chad is going to be real good, getting the exposure and getting to constantly be on the show weekly now, and not just being on for a random four-way and then not being on TV for 3 weeks.
You showing love to Brutus. I see the vision as well. Guy in the shape, guys getting fit, So I'm at Blood Sport knocking people out. I love it. You know how I feel about Julie's. That's my guy. Cheddar biscuits all day. So I like the potential of American Made. You a fool for what you said about what that thing represented, the OTC, which you ain't lying about.
I mean, like, American Made, what are we doing? It ain't for Kamala. They didn't. Triple H didn't do that for Kamala. I can tell you that. Okay.
You are ridiculous. All we need is like a soaring eagle with the caw in the entrance, and there we go. So
don't be surprised if you get one at Bash in Berlin. You know they're gonna be waving that American flag proud.
Egregiously. Oh,
I'm telling you, don't be surprised if you get one.
I can see the vision, but yeah, I love the potential of Brutus, obviously, and they are like 2K. They would do crazy stuff, and they still need like a bit more refinement, but when they get it together, they're going to be special, as we said, and we dreamed this up too. We knew that Gable and the Creeds would get together, so Triple H definitely laid the foundation to make it happen, and they have, and Ivy Nile is now a part of the crew. Love that for her. Get her more TV time. Get them over as heels first, then flip them when the time comes, and they'll be the 2025 version of the world's greatest tag team. Let's go there. Team Gable all day. Salute.
Should be America Alpha, though. That's who
I agree. They should be the heir apparent and just get that anointment from Jason Jordan and Chad Gable doing a backstage segment. That would be everything.
Yeah, that's who they... that's who I see when I watch them. Like that's them, and because they both should still be like. I don't know why, but I was watching a random match of them two, and they just that fire that Jason had and Chad had it too. But Jason would have it, and then Chad was the guy who would really carry the match until he got the hot tag to Jason. But yeah, the American Alpha is the team that I really see in them.
Yeah, me too. So hopefully that comes to pass very soon. As we get to our next match, which was a number one contenders match for the WWE Women's Tag Team titles. It was Damage Control versus Zoe Stark and Shayna Baszler. But have a new name, Scott, as a collective here. Alongside Sonya Deville, and my guy's expression tells me this name is terrible because now presenting... And it's an acronym kind of night. The Pure Fusion Collective, the PFC.
I bet you don't type that one in the Pornhub. Listen, when I saw the Pure Fusion, what is it, Collective?
Yes.
When I saw the Pure Fusion Collective, my first thought was, I'm expecting Zoe and Shayna to start doing the Dragon Ball Z fusion dance. And then Sonya Deville pops up from behind him and is like, here we are. Ha-ha. This might be worse than Street Trash, Liv's Dolls. possibly the PFC, though. Like, who came up with that? Because we've all heard, whoever's listening to this show, we've all heard enough wrestling podcasts to know that most groups, they get a list of names and they can say like, no, we're not doing that. We're not doing that. And Triple H, from the most part, seems like the type of guy where if you're like, hey, we're not really feeling this name, he'd be like, all right, that's fine. What do you like? Which one of them decided that they need to be kicked out?
Immediately.
Send them to TNA. Send them to Bloodsport. Send them anywhere you want to. The wrestling business could use it anyway, but they need to be kicked out.
Immediately. Because I said, no way. Ain't no way y'all clear this name as y'all name. The Pure Fusion Collective. First of all, Zoe, get out.
I bet you it was
get
Zoe.
Out. Undye your hair and get out of the group right now. Like, no, that name sucks. And I try to be fair. That name has no flow whatsoever. And I will tell you why. Because remember, Scott, earlier this year, we were stuck with the Pride. Pride Rock. So anything is possible when it comes to shitty names.
Well, according to MVP and Bobby Lashley, you know, Triple H is like, oh, black guys, Pride. So, well, you know, maybe those two didn't have a choice, obviously, which I don't buy. Again, who's picking these names, man? Who's picking these names?
They're doing like a random name generator and they just pick the worst name they can possibly get. So the match happened. It was fine. Damage Control are trying to get over his baby faces. I love Kyrie and Io. I love them. Dakota Kai is out with an injury. Torn meniscus out 8 to 10 weeks. Oh my God. I just want to pray over her knee, throw sage on it, hold the water.
And it's not like she gets like, they're not like, you know, best wishes for her for sure. But it's not like they're like minor injuries. These are like real serious. And like a torn meniscus, that's a big deal. Like,
it is.
So yeah, hopefully fast recoveries for her. Damage Control is down to two.
Down to two. Down by half. We got Asuka with the bad knee. We got Dakota with the bad knee. We got two people left standing. Prayers to Io and Kyrie. Keep it together, ladies. Y'all got this. The match ends via DQ when the witches, Isla Dawn and Abba Fire, crash a party and say, we don't want to face none of y'all. You know, we're gonna beat up everybody and say we the best. And they stand up, and then Adam Pearce makes a triple threat for next week involving these teams for the women's tag team titles. Now, Scott, the time has come, as I teased earlier. I have Cheddar Biscuits to award someone right now. If you can guess who the Cheddar Biscuits are going to, you will win two Cheddar Biscuits.
Isla Dawn.
Correct.
Isla Dawn.
Yes.
Hey, listen. Your boy ain't blind. I wear glasses, but your boy ain't blind, okay? your boy can see just fine, all right? And I've been peeping Isla for a little bit now, okay? I ain't gonna lie, when you win gold, you get a little bit more attention. I ain't gonna lie. The gold will look good on people. And Isla looks good with gold.
Yes, she does. I saw her backstage a couple of weeks ago. I was like, well, okay, all right. We cooking. And I saw her tonight. Are we really cooking? Yes, we are.
Once she stopped doing voodoo, it was like, oh, okay. We got something. We working with something. You're not just putting hexes and spells on people.
No. Beautiful woman. Just want to establish that. Gorgeous. Gorgeous, yes. So she's in the Cheddar Biscuits Hall of Fame. Congratulations to you, Isla Dawn.
Whoa. I think she's a beautiful woman. Hall of Fame, though. Hey, take it easy.
Hall of Famer. Yes, I said it. She's a Hall of Famer.
It's like putting Derek White out on the USA basketball team, but what do I know? But
well, he has a gold medal, more than we will ever have in this life. More than Jaylen Brown will ever have, even though he's the MVP. Hey,
he do got a gold medal for the rest of his life, man. And he played more than Halliburton.
Oh, my God. At least Halliburton says, you know what? Like I said earlier in the show, he did nothing but still got an A on the Goo Project. And that is how you are supposed to approach this.
For sure.
His time will come in 2028. He'll be fine. Yes, it will. Stop it, you hater. That's your fellow light-skinned brother. I know you hate him because of what he did to, you know, the Knicks, but I digress.
He's going to be playing for Germany.
Oh, my God. That is the most random team you pulled out for him. Germany.
You're right. He going to play with Jokic in Serbia. He's like, hey, Jokic, give me four more years, big fella. Hey, give me four more years.
Hey, listen, you put that man with Serbia, they might win. They might win gold. That'd be the second best shooter on the team.
First of all, Jokic doesn't care about basketball. So in 4 years, Jokic is fine. Life is going to catch up with Jokic. Like Father Time is gonna, in 4 years, he's not LeBron. Okay, Father Time will catch up with that man. He'll be like, hey, I'm done. I'm not. I can't do it anymore. I'm done. And there will be no retirement tour. He just the last game. He's like, hey, I think I'm gonna retire. Appreciate y'all.
He's gonna go back to Serbia and tend to his horses immediately. He's over there right now. He got his bronze. I'm going with my horsies. Okay. Peace.
That boy went and partied with the bronze. They went and partied over the bronze. They ain't mad
at all. We were like blessed. Thank you, because we've never won nothing before. Thank you. Appreciate you. All right, let's get back to wrestling. Let's get back to Monday Night Raw as we get to an in-ring segment with the Viper, Randy Orton, coming out talking about his World Heavyweight Championship match against Gunther at Bash in Berlin. He reminds the people that he is the youngest World Heavyweight Champion in WWE history. He beat Lord Voldemort 20 years ago. Can't mention that name on this show, but he beat him. And he says, I can do it again in a few weeks' time at Bash in Berlin to become a 15-time world champion. Gunther comes out and says, that's not going to happen. But you could take a picture of this moment And Randy said to Sam, you can picture this. What's going to happen to you and me and Berlin when I take your championship? And then Gunther says, oh, you can take a picture too. And remind the people how much of an underachiever you are, because you were, you know, one of the most naturally gifted WWE wrestlers of all time, but you squandered it by making so many mistakes, not living up to your full potential. And Randy says, I know what I did back in the day. I know I made a lot of mistakes. I'm the most controversial figure in WWE who's still here and got it together. And then we threw in a little Americana, you know, a little randomly get a USA chant, like, come on, Austin, really? You know, he got his five kids, his smoking hot smoke show of a wife, living the dream. And he says, I'm going to live the dream some more by being the new world heavyweight champion, a Gunther. Now, when you know it's time to talk that cash talk shit, Gunther is right there. And you know what he does? He brings up family. Called out the grandfather, called out the father, said they were losers. They sucked. They were deadbeats. They were failures. They made mistakes, just like you. And before things got really heated, we got Drew McIntyre randomly coming out. And then we have Gunther, stupidly, in a rare mistake by him, because he didn't see it coming, got hit with an RKO out of nowhere by Randy Orton. And then Drew McIntyre didn't see it coming when CM Punk attacked him from behind. Drew tries to fight back as Punk is obsessed with the bracelet to take it off his wrist. He noted in a backstage interview, it's not about the bracelet, it's the principality of the names on the bracelet, the symbolism of that. Keep my name out, keep my wife's name out of your mouth and we're good to go. So he proceeds to take off, as in Randy Orton, to let CM Punk and McIntyre fight. McIntyre takes off his belt, and CM Punk is going to take possession of said belt, and he gets to whooping on Drew McIntyre. And there are welts all over Drew's back via social media. I mean, he really whipped this man's back. It was brutal. Still didn't get the bracelet back, but he made Drew McIntyre feel it, and this was more than what we got at SummerSlam. That, what we saw tonight, was actual violence in a good way. Thank you. And that might be a sign of what will be their next match imminently. Could very well be a strap match.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. You know, CM Punk likes to bring a little bit of the violence. So yeah, I think those two will be, it'll be something good, and that'll be a nice way to lead into the Hell in a Cell match, which they're definitely going to have. Everything about this was pretty good. Orton and Gunther both did their thing. Orton getting all upset and Gunther was like, you know, you're talking about you being this good guy and stuff. The only thing that's more full of it than you are the gym bags you used to poop in. So I loved what Gunther had to say. And I think this is going to be a great match. I think Orton's going to bring a lot out of him. We're going to get some good near falls with some RKOs, but Gunther is going to powerbomb and hit a big splash and then put him to sleep.
Yeah, I definitely sense that as well. So I'm here for that. Love two things being handled at one time, a very effective segment that way, and bring in the violence, refreshing to see by CM Punk. Because you lied to us at SummerSlam saying it was going to be uncomfortable. It was going to be disturbing. I wasn't disturbed. I was a little disturbed seeing Drew's back tonight. That was disturbing because those welts hurt like hell. But you handle business. Now, speaking of disturbing, we had Bronson Reed versus The Miz. And our guy, Paul Fontaine, mentioned that, ironically enough, The Miz brought back Bronson Reed a couple of years ago on Monday Night Raw. And they fought last night because R-Truth is a dummy, thinking he booked Braun Breaker versus The Miz and not realizing he booked the wrong Braun. R-Truth is truly touched in the head. And so this match, for my taste, was way too competitive after what Bronson Reed did to Seth Rollins last week. Now, the reason why my co-captain is shrugging is because he has a built-in Miz bias. He must have offense in this match to look credible. And I don't care. It should have been a squash. It should have been a dominant performance by by Bronson Reed. Yes, yes, it should have been. And thankfully, The Miz lost. But we made up for it when Bronson Reed did the Lord's work. I have never been so happy to see a man get tsunamied as many times as our truth did, because he has been making the Miz's life miserable, and that makes me empathize with the Miz, and that is very rare for me. So like the fans in Austin, I celebrated when Bronson went up for not one tsunami, not two, not three, not four, not five, but six. God bless you, Bronson Reed. May our truth not bless my screen for at least 2 months. Thank you.
A couple things. First of all, I don't think the announcers talked enough about the big upset of Bronson Reed beating the two-time Grand Slam champion. Former tag team champion, just won a title at WrestleMania, The Miz, who's essentially the LeBron James of WWE right now, just with his longevity and the way he's still on top of the game. I don't think they talked about the upset enough. So I really think they missed the ball right there by not emphasizing how big of a win this was for Bronson Reed. Could have been a little bit more competitive. I would have gave The Miz about 2-3 more minutes of offense, really let him kind of dominate. I thought he should have probably even picked up the victory, if we're being honest. I would have probably had him kick out of a tsunami, you know. Protect the Miz. Have him kick out of a tsunami or two.
No.
Let's protect this guy. You never know when you need to build a pay-per-view around him. So let's just protect this guy. Keep him strong. Keep him ready to go. And as far as Bronson Reed goes, the presentation has been phenomenal. What they've done with him has been great. R-Truth won't be – him and little Jimmy are in the same place now. So they can hang out forever for a while. And we won't have to worry about The Miz turning on anybody, because he won't have anybody to turn on now.
First of all, I acknowledge nothing you said for the last minute to say that Miz had every right to kick out of a tsunami. No, he did not. No, he does not. No, he will not. How dare you? Your bias is so deep, you would actually encourage this man kicking out of a tsunami. The nerve, the egregiousness of you, truly.
I think it's nasty work that they didn't protect him more.
Let's move on quickly before you really get under my skin with this Miz love fest. You disgust me talking about kick out of two tsunamis. Sell the move, please. Sell nothing, Miz. Lay your ass down and take it. And he did. There we go. And now it is time for our main event of the evening. It is the real Braun that the Miz wanted to face with some gold on the line, but that's not going to happen. It is Braun Breaker, the Intercontinental Champion, versus Sami Zayn in a 2 out of 3 falls match. By far the best match from last night's show. Mm-hmm. By far their best match together to date. This was so good. I loved everything about it. Even the quick Huluva kick in the corner for the first fall by Sami Zayn. And then Braun Breaker lawn darts Sami in one of the great spots of the year. The camera work was incredible as he just dumped him in the timekeeper area. As we go to commercial, we come back, get a replay of that camera angle of poor Sami getting yeeted over there. I loved it. Then we had the Breakensteiner to Sammy by Braun, and then Braun lands a spear on Sammy for a near fall. The third fall was really exciting. Near falls here and there for Sami Zayn to gain the advantage. Crucifix pin at one point, but it comes down to Sami Zayn going for a kind of makeshift Huluva kick without the corner in middle of the ring and near fall. And then he goes up top, and then Braun Breaker gets that man in midair and spears him to death to retain the championship 2-1. 2 out of 3 falls. Braun Breaker is still the Intercontinental Champion. Congrats to him. Great match. Crowd loves the guy. He's got Pat getting involved with the barking now with the dogs being in the building, which I'm loving. It's like, okay, DMX Jr., where my dog's at? Woof, woof. I love that for him. So congrats to Braun Breaker. Still the champ.
First of all, a couple things. First of all, I'm going to tell you what you're not going to do, okay? I'm going to tell you what you're not going to do. Talking about where my dog's at. first of all, nobody calling no dog. Like, where are my dogs at? That's what we're looking for. You keep your little poodles over there, okay? You keep your little poodles on the porch. The boss, like, where are my dogs at? You keep your little pups over there, okay? We got the big dogs over here. You over there, you bringing the puppies out. You trying to be all cute and stuff, bringing the puppies out. We got the big dogs over here. Big dog Braun Breaker.
DMX, how dare you?
The match was great. I agree with you. The match was fantastic. It's my match of the week. I'll go ahead and throw that out there. You can pick any one of these three is probably better than anything we saw all week too, even if you break them down. Their chemistry has been built up really well. Braun Breaker he's over, man. He's at this point now where you can put him against anybody. You want to put him against a sympathetic babyface like we did with Sami Zayn, you can make that work. You want to put him against a heel, you can make that work. Whenever him and Bronson Reed finally have a confrontation over that title, we're going to make that work. Like, I'm really excited about this run that Braun Breaker can have. I guess I'm R-Truth too. But yeah, this was great match. And Sami Zayn is now all freed up to tag team with Jey Uso. And that leads to Jimmy getting upset. And now we're going to have those two back into the Bloodline storyline in about 2 months.
Yeah, and let's not forget, Roman Reigns is technically a free agent who can go to Monday Night Raw and bring Jay and Sammy to realign the Bloodline, because he's going to need some help down the road as well. But do not insult my poodles, okay? Like, they got some bark and some bite to them, okay? I'm not trying to be too loud. You know, I don't want to be, like, ferocious, but I gave you, like, a little woof-ruff. That's okay. You know, arf, arf, arf. There we go. That's enough. It's like a dachshund. They're little ankle biters. They're badasses. So, hey.
I hate little yappy dogs. Like, I would legit rather fight, like, a big pit didn't like have to deal with a little yapper, because like, at least a pit, if it's gonna take care of me, it's gonna take care of me. It ain't gonna, you know what I'm saying? A little yapper just gonna be yapping. It's gonna annoy you to death.
That is also a quality, though. They're little anchor biters too.
Oh gosh,
right on your heels at all times. But really fun main event. Also my match of the week so far. Nothing else on SmackDown kind of touches it. Nothing from tonight's Raw kind of touched it either. Really good match. Braun Breaker is a superstar. And I will be very honest and say I did not expect his ascension to be this quick in a good way. And it really speaks to the strong booking. Like, off top, they knew they had something. They didn't play around. They didn't make him a white meat baby face. You're going to have to go through the ups and downs of being a WWE superstar to make it. No, they established him off top as a guy that was hungry. He wanted to be in the King of the Ring tournament. He wanted to win. He wanted to be in it. And Adam Pearce said no. And he went on a tear ever since then. And the fans love a badass. Look at Bronson Reed. They love a guy that goes out there and whoops ass, leaves, come back the next week, whoops more ass, and give you what you want. And that's what they're both doing right now. And they are on a collision course. I do sense someday in the next 6 months or so, they will be eye to eye, face to face. And because of what they're doing with Bronson, he's going to be so much more over because of it. So even if Seth comes back soon after he heals up from more injuries, he will be fine. Like, Bronson Reed, they are building him up as a dangerous, dangerous man that will stay over. And that was not the case this time, even a month ago.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, so overall, a pretty solid episode of Monday Night Raw in USA back after the Olympics that took a bite out of the viewership, but I think they're bounced back pretty strong the last few weeks before the NFL season starts with Monday Night Football, and we know that is going to be a drag on them until they move to Netflix in January, and they will never have to worry about the NFL again, because ratings won't be counted as much, because we ain't gonna know nothing. We just probably know the hours in which Monday Night Raw was watched, not the people that watched. So we'll see about that. But until then, it's now time to put a bow on this week's wrap right here on the Fight Game Media Network. I want to thank my co-captain, Salty Scott Young, for joining me as we recapped all things SmackDown and Monday Night Raw from last night.
Thank you for having me, Keela. As always, it's a pleasure to chop it up and talk all things WWE. I look forward to next week. And I look forward to watching the witches in Isle of Dawn continue her ascension to the Cheddar Biscuits Hall of Fame.
Yes, the chase continues, and we'll be back to cover everything. We'll talk about SmackDown, more Roman Reigns, more Monday Night Raw as well, as we get ready for Bash in Berlin in a couple of weeks in Berlin, Germany. So until then, enjoy the rest of the week ahead. We got NXT tonight, SmackDown on Friday, and everything in between with Speed and NXT Level Up and Main Event. If you truly watch everything on Peacock, enjoy it. So until then, for myself and for Softy Scott Young, that is a wrap for all things WWE. Take care and bye-bye.
Bernie Marino is looking out for himself, not us. Marino is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Marino has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.